After meeting the men and having dinner, I unrolled my blankets and spread them on the same hay in the bunk over the desk. I put on my overalls and jumper and digging boots that same afternoon and went to work in the mine. My first job was wheeling rock from a shaft that was being sunk at the end of an open cut. I soon found that a wheelbarrow loaded with rock was more than I could handle, so I made the loads lighter and took more trips. I was glad enough when quitting time came. When we got down to the house, it was already dark. The usual mining camp meal was ready, and everyone pitched in with a hearty appetite. It was but a few minutes afterward, when the dishes were cleared away, that the men gathered around the table again, reading, playing cards or chess, as best as they could by flickering candlelight. Others were stretched out in their bunks or sitting on the edges of them, and so the winter evenings were passed. There was no place to go. The closest town was Winnemucca, 60 miles away. There was one saloon at Willow Creek, the post office, 4 miles away. But this was seldom patronized, though occasionally some of the men who went to the station brought back a couple of bottles of whiskey. Though miners, situated as we were, could not keep in close touch with current events, we were all great readers. I remember the second Christmas I was there, one of my relatives sent me a book on baseball. This would have been interesting enough some years before, but I was now in a place where one side of a baseball team could not be scratched up in a long day's ride. I did not have many books of my own, but the miners all had some. One had a volume of Darwin, others had Voltaire, Shakespeare, Byron, Burns, and Milton. These poets were great favorites of my stepfather. We all exchanged books, and quite a valuable library could have been collected among these few men. Some received magazines, and there were 4 or 5 daily papers that came to the camp. That they were a week old made little difference to us. John Kane was the assayer and ore sorter at the mine. He took a great liking to me and taught me assaying. He was a big, heavy-set, good-natured Irishman, with a heavy black mustache and pleasant eyes. When I went to work with him, I helped him prepare the samples that were to be assayed. No work I ever did in my life was as fascinating as assaying. These first small ventures into the realm of chemistry led me to feel that I would like to become a mining engineer. I made up my mind to learn this profession and wrote to the Houghton School of Mines and the Columbia School of Mines to learn their requirements for entrance. I secured some books on assaying and surveying and devoted much time to study, but I never entered either of these colleges. I found myself with other responsibilities, and my further education was secured in the School of Experience.